At first glance, falling oil prices and the COVID-19 crisis may not seem related to Social Security benefits, but a closer look shows they could have a serious impact on next year's cost of living adjustment. You know, every year in October, the Social Security Administration sets next year's benefit levels based on the Consumer Price Index. What will that mean in 2021? Well, today, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West breaks it down for us, and it's not good news. Then we'll take your calls on any financial concern or question you have, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, and this is MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, the Consumer Price Index is a measure of inflation, and if Social Security benefits are pegged to it, shouldn't that mean that the annual cost of living adjustment, or COLA, is adequate to preserve buying power for our seniors?
Well, that's the idea, but in practice, it hasn't worked out that way, especially this year with plummeting oil prices. That's helped to keep the overall inflation rate low, but not necessarily in areas where seniors do a lot of their spending. So as a result, Steve, some analysts predict that next year's Social Security COLA, cost of living adjustment, could be near zero, and that will be an added hardship for seniors for sure.
Well, I would certainly think so. All right. Give us some examples of how this plays out.
Sure. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, is an average measurement of inflation across all sectors of the economy. So gas prices might be low, for example, but pharmaceutical and food prices aren't. So the average inflation rate might be low or even non-existent, but that doesn't help folks at the grocery store or pharmacy, especially those already on a tight budget.
Okay. All right. Well, if the measurement used to determine Social Security COLAs isn't an accurate reflection of inflation for seniors, shouldn't there be something better?
Well, for some time now, elderly advocates have been calling for the Social Security Administration to use a different measurement altogether, something called the CPIE, the E being for elderly. But that change would require new legislation, which Congress has not gotten around to yet.
All right. Well, what's the difference then between CPI and CPIE?
Yeah, primarily the CPIE is a better reflection of inflation in two key areas that affect seniors the most. That would be health care and housing. Medicare premiums, for example, tend to rise rapidly, which may not show up in the average rate of inflation, and that lowers the annual Social Security COLA. Last year, it was only 1.6%, down from 2.8% in 2019.
Year after year, those shortfalls in cost of living adjustments really start to hurt and add up, right?
Well, absolutely. Over the last 20 years, prices for things that seniors typically buy have nearly doubled, an increase of 99%. But Social Security COLAs have increased benefits by only 53%. So the result has been a severe decrease in the buying power of Social Security benefits, down some 30% since the year 2000. And of course, this year, the problem has been magnified by falling gas prices that drag down the overall inflation rate. That, plus many seniors may be experiencing additional health care costs due to the coronavirus. So it really, Steve, is something of a perfect storm.
Wow, I can certainly see that. All right. Anything that can be done about this? What do you think?
Well, I certainly wouldn't wait for Congress to act anytime soon. If you're a senior citizen relying heavily on Social Security benefits, you have to take action. I would start by taking a hard look at your budget to eliminate unnecessary expenses. That's always a good beginning place. If you haven't signed up for Medicare Part D, you'll want to look into that to keep prescription costs down. And you don't have to go it alone on your budget. You can visit MoneyWiseLive.org and sign up with one of our volunteer coaches. There's no cost, except possibly a small workbook, and only for those who can afford that. A MoneyWise coach may find areas to trim in your budget that you might not have thought of. They're eager to help. They're committed Christ followers, and they're eager to walk alongside you. Again, MoneyWiseLive.org.
All right, MoneyWiseLive.org. Scroll down a bit. You'll see a link for Connect with a Coach. Now, what about folks who haven't reached their retirement years yet?
Well, even if Social Security COLAs weren't adequate, which they aren't, it's been widely reported that the entire program will begin experiencing a shortfall by the year 2035. Eventually, benefits will have to be reduced, or more likely, Congress will have to take steps to shore up Social Security, either by increasing the payroll tax or by once again extending the full retirement age, which they've done before. All this means that for people still working, you simply can't depend on the government to supply the majority of your retirement income. Keep in mind, it was only intended to cover 40% of retirement income to begin with.
Thanks, Rob. Your call's next, 800-525-7000.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Called America's Most Famous School Book, the New England Primer is what school children in colonial America used for learning to read and for understanding the world around them. And the Christian Bible was used to play a large role in shaping that understanding.
Containing spelling lists, prayers, and moral stories, as well as catechisms for religious study, it said the Primer gave the child a map to a world larger than himself, a wider spectrum of understanding, and better selection of materials to heighten a child's awareness beyond daily life.
Biblical selections from the King James Bible were interpreted by a Puritan worldview of sin and salvation. Memorization was key. Children would not only memorize the alphabet, but also learn rhymes and poems with biblical themes.
Engage with this book in the unfolding of its many applications.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
So glad you're out there today. So glad you're listening to us on MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We were talking about COLA, not RC, not Diet COLA, but Social Security COLAs. And Rob, you were saying that initially when this was set up, the program was only intended to provide 40% of retirement income. But yet today, retirees tend to be using it a lot more than just the 40%, huh?
Well, that's right. In fact, I've seen recent surveys, Steve, that show half of retirees rely on Social Security benefits for at least 50% of their income, and one in four depend on those benefits for nearly all of their income. So, you know, it really is critical that we're diligent in saving. That's why we recommend putting 10 to 15% of your working income in a retirement plan. The earlier you begin, of course, the greater the impact will be when you retire because of the compounding effect. I would say that's only, though, assuming, you know, you've got your basic budget in place, you're giving regularly. I would also say start with the emergency fund and paying off consumer debt, and most importantly, credit cards. But once the credit cards are paid off, hopefully they don't exist in the first place, but if they do, pay them off. And once that emergency fund's in place, then getting to that 10 to 15% for as many years as you can is going to really put you in a position where you have the proper savings plus Social Security as it was intended to really fund your lifestyle. And not that, you know, we want to just live a life of leisure in retirement. I mean, there's nothing wrong with some leisure. But remember, God's calling on your life doesn't have an expiration expiration date. So what we're talking about in retirement is saying perhaps God's going to redirect you in that season to something else where you have the most experience and wisdom to offer in service to the Lord. And you may find yourself in a place where you physically can't work. And because of all of those things, we want you to be able to provide for your needs, not necessarily living a lavish lifestyle, but covering your expenses and then being able to follow the leading of the Lord.
Yeah, great information, Rob. Thanks. And again, if we can help you today as you work through these things, we'd love to try. 800-525-7000. You'd have to admit, though, Rob, you must be, like I am, reveling in these low gasoline prices.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's wonderful. In fact, we took a little road trip last weekend, and I was excited when I got to the gas pump to see what it was. You know, it was frustrating during all of the social distancing, and everybody was quarantining at home, and we knew those gas prices were out there, but nobody was driving.
Nowhere to go.
Anywhere.
That's right. Okay, well, let's hope things get better around, and we still have a lot of summer ahead of us. Let's go back to our phones, or go to our phones for the first. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a great place to drive to. Hi, Helen. How can we help you?
Okay, this is my question.
All right.
When I did my income tax this past year, there's something I forgot to add until I thought of it after my preparer was all finished and sent it in. I had a girl living with me, and she paid me rent for the month she was here. And I forgot to add that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, I don't know what to do about it. And my preparer said, forget about it. So I don't know what you do in a case like that.
Yeah, Helen, first of all, I appreciate so much your heart in wanting to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, which is very biblical, and I would certainly affirm your conviction that you need to report all income. The good news is you're not alone. This happens very frequently, and better that you report it than they come asking you about it, and whether they know about it or not, it's still the right thing to do. It is fairly simple, Helen, to file what's called an amended return. It's instead of a Form 1040. It's a Form 1040X. It's available through the IRS's website at irs.gov. It used to be that you could only file a paper version. It's my understanding, though, that that the IRS is introducing an electronic filing version later this summer of 1040X. But your tax preparer certainly would know all about that, and you could give the additional information. Your tax preparer could file that amended return, and you want to do that within 3 years of the original filing date. And you want to make sure to pay the amount you owe as soon as possible. That's going to minimize any interest or penalties on additional tax, because they're going to make that retroactive back to when it should have been paid. It shouldn't be a lot, but I would go ahead and get that taken care of. And if you use a tax preparer, then I would probably just ask that person to file that amended return for you. But it's not a big deal. It should be fairly painless. And I think you'll feel good once you know it's behind you.
Rob, is it possible that the amount of money, and Helen didn't mention how much, but is it possible that the amount of money is so small that it really doesn't make a difference?
No, because if she filed the tax return to begin with, this would be added to whatever income she has. So there's going to be some tax due. But, yeah, depending on the amount, it may be a very small amount. But it still is the right thing to do is to make sure you've acknowledged and reported all your income.
Helen, will that make you sleep easier tonight?
Yes, but listen, I'd like to know. I think the whole amount was around $1,200.
Yeah.
Now, will I have to pay $1,200?
No, no, because you know, it would just be based on your tax rate, your marginal tax rate. So I would just mention that. It's going to be probably a very small amount, but I would mention that to your tax preparer, depending on how much income you're earning, where it falls based on the standard deduction. It could be anything from not really owing anything to a very small amount. But the bottom line is you just want to make sure that what you reported is accurate, and your tax preparer can tell you in just a few seconds what that's going to be.
Helen, we hope that helps you. Thank you very much. And rest easy. This will not be a big deal. Unless, of course, Caesar comes knocking on the door with his troops looking for that money.
He doesn't do that.
Not anymore, he doesn't. Okay. All right, up to Pennsylvania in the Pocono Mountains. How beautiful. Isabel, how may we help you? Whoa.
Hi.
Isabel.
Hi. Yes. Hi.
Yes.
We're glad you're
calling. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Hi. Hi, guys. God bless.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
So my question on a financial situation is if it's safe or wise to withdraw from my 401k, which is a traditional IRA account, to pay student debt or a car loan.
You know, Isabel, I'm not a big fan of pulling money out of a retirement account. You know, with a 401k, you can borrow from it. I don't really like that because if you separate from the company, it's all going to be considered a distribution unless you pay it back in full. And that's going to probably carry with it a penalty if you're less than 59.5. Plus, it'll be taxable, not to mention the fact that that money is no longer working for you for your retirement, which was its intended purpose. With an IRA, there's not the ability to borrow, so you'd have to take the withdrawal and you'd have those same potentially penalties, but certainly a tax due. So, you know, what I would prefer to see you do is leave that money right there. Remember, the whole idea behind retirement savings is that it works for you over a long period of time. And so the extent to which you can keep that properly invested according to your goals and objectives is going to give you the greatest ability to have that money there for you when you need it in retirement. So then what do you do with the car loan and the student loan debt? Well, I think the key to paying off any consumer debt, whether it's credit cards or a car loan or student loan debt, is to limit lifestyle. So you've got to go back to that spending plan, look for areas to cut back. If you need some help and some suggestions, that's where our MoneyWise coaches can help at MoneyWiseLive.org. And you want to try to free up margin beyond your fixed and discretionary expenses, that is surplus on a monthly basis that can be used in excess of minimum payments toward debt reduction. And, you know, beyond that, I think, you know, the only opportunities are with student loan debt. If it's a federal loan, you could look at income-based repayment options. If your daughter has those options available, you can look at loan forgiveness options. But I don't like the idea of pulling out of retirement accounts except as an absolute last resort. I'd rather you just try to pay them out of surplus and just try to stay focused on getting them eradicated just as quick as you can. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it makes sense. And, you know, I've just been trying to figure out, I realized that pulling money out of my traditional IRA retirement account has an impact on the taxes, right?
Right.
Because I am 43. But I thought, well, it's either pay $5,000 worth of interest, which is the life of the loan, or pay that towards, you know, removing money out of my 401k. So
yeah.
That's where, you know, I've been trying to weigh out which direction to go.
Yeah. Did you assume responsibility for both of these? For instance, did you tell your daughter you were going to pay off the student loan debt initially? Was that the plan?
No. The student loan debt is on her name, and she's actually a recent grad. She just completed her master's, and she's going for her PhD, which is such a big blessing. But
yeah.
I wanted to help her with her, you know, existing debt, just to free her up a little bit.
Sure. Sure. Well, I certainly appreciate your heart. I think the idea behind it is she's invested in her education, although we'd prefer college graduates graduate with as little debt, if possible, no debt, just so they set themselves up and not being strapped as they get started. Good news is, you know, hopefully she'll have marketable skills that she could earn a good income and she can pay this back in full. If you want to help her, I think perhaps, you know, you could do that, but I'd rather you not use use retirement money to do it. That's some of the most expensive money you can get your hands on just because of the reasons we've said. So I'd start with the family budget, see if you can do it out of that. And one option is always to sell the car and look for a less expensive one.
And thanks so much for your call today. This is MoneyWise Live, taking calls at 800-525-7000. Tamika, Rita, Marianne, we're coming your way.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
We're told in Romans 8:9, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Not just a spirit, not just something of the Spirit. No, the very Spirit of Christ is sitting in you right this second in your chair. And then there is a lid that is sealed on the top of it where he's not coming out and nothing else is coming in. We can quench him, but we cannot get rid of him. We are sealed. I am 99.9% positive that we bear a mark on us that shows out in the invisible world that we cannot see. The enemy never goes, "I wonder if he belongs to God or not." Because we bear an inscription that says this: the Lord knows those who are his. There's just no doubt in my mind that somehow there is a mark on us. So that's why there is a mark of the beast, because everything God does, the enemy tries to counterfeit. So, I mean, we are marked. And in doing that, in having the Spirit in us, we have the Spirit inside us that cries out, "Abba, Father." The closest English rendering of it we would have is, "Daddy, dear Daddy." Now, when is it Christ said exactly that? Because this becomes important to understand what it is to share in his suffering.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in his word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store. Thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
You know, God's Word, the Bible, has hundreds of verses that deal with how we should manage our money, and that's what we try to do here on a daily basis. Look at some of those verses and apply those verses practically and spiritually, obviously. So if we can help you, it's 800-525-7000. Tamika, we appreciate your patience. Thank you very much. And how can we help you?
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to say that I listen to you guys almost every day, and I just decided to call.
Great. You're sweet. Thank you for listening, Tamika. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So I am like stuck in between either paying off all of my debt. That's the ultimate goal. But in between my debt and my savings, should I put more towards my debt or towards my savings?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like the idea of not thinking about it as one or the other. I like the idea of thinking about it as doing both. You know, your money may have the greatest impact financially by paying off the debt first, but you know, starting the habit of saving, establishing a way to deal with emergencies by fully funding your emergency fund, which keeps you from having to go back into debt, is important also. So rather than doing one or the other exclusively, I like the idea of trying to solve for both at the same time. But let's run through some of the numbers. Give me a rundown of the debt that you have and the savings, the reserves that you're talking about potentially pulling from, and what you have saved up.
Okay, well, right now I have about, I'm a little embarrassed, but only about like $2,000 saved up. Okay. And I have about $77,000 in student loans, and then car loan for around $19,000.
Okay, so you said $77,000 in student loans, you've got $19,000 that you owe on a car loan, and you've got $2,000 saved. And so your current on the student loan and the car loan, when you get to the end of the month, after the bills are paid, after you've paid the debt service on the student loan and the car loan, do you usually have anything left over?
Yeah, well, my student loans are actually in forbearance now, but okay, that time is actually coming up for me to begin to pay them. So I'm trying to figure out a plan for that.
Okay. All right. Do you have a budget that includes making those student loan payments that balances?
I started making a budget at the, like, for the end of the year, not as as of right now. No.
Okay.
But like,
all right,
like towards the end of the year. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's really the next step for you, is to really do a deep dive into that spending plan and make sure it includes whatever the payments are going to be to the student loans now that they're coming out of forbearance. And we've got to get an accurate picture of everything that's in the spending plan, the discretionary, the fixed, even some of those non-recurring expenses that maybe don't come every month but come a few times a year or quarterly, and get all of that in there and figure out what you need to do to create some margin, that is money over and above your expenses, so that you can continue to fund that emergency savings. I'd like for you to get up to 3 months' expenses and service the debt. Once you get to the 3 months expenses, then we probably want to continue to send a little extra to the student loans to try to tackle that. But I'd pause the additional savings once you get to 3 months and really focus in on trying to get that $77,000 down. Right now it's continuing to climb. We need it going the other way so you can eventually pay it off completely. I know it's not easy, and that's where our coaches can help, Tamika. So go to moneywiselive.org, connect with a coach, and see if that doesn't give you some extra incentive to get on the right track.
And when we come back, Rita in Springfield, Missouri has a recommendation for us. Stick around.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, this is Steve Moore of MoneyWise Live, and this is the Moody Radio Verse of the Week. It's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Studying the Messianic prophecies in the Old Testament is a great way to study the Scriptures, but it can be confusing. The biblical authors came from different cultures and a different time, and they used different styles. I'm Michael Radelnik. I teamed up with my good friend Ed Bloom to bring you the Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy. It covers and explains in context virtually every messianic prediction, and it all points to the promised one, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Get your copy at moodypublishers.com.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The coronavirus crisis is deepening in Arizona, and the governor of Texas is beginning to backtrack after making one of the most aggressive pushes in the nation to reopen his state. The daily count of confirmed cases across the U.S. stands near the peak reached during late April. According to a count kept by Johns Hopkins University, the 34,500 COVID-19 cases reported on Wednesday were only slightly fewer than the day before, but still close to the U.S. daily high of 36,400 from April. President Trump visiting Marinette in rural Wisconsin for a private tour today of a shipyard and also participating in a town hall session in Green Bay. Stocks finished higher. The Dow picked up 299 points. The NASDAQ added 107 and the S&P picked up 33. This is SRN News.
Hey, if you haven't checked us out online, you might want to do that if you have just a moment. It's moneywiselive.org, and you'll find lots of free resources there to help you with your budget, your investing, some biblical principles that you may want to factor into how you handle your money, and lots more as well. Of course, also radio archives from the past year in case there are some programs you missed or some subjects you'd like to look up. Again, moneywiselive.org. Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Rita. What's your question or comment for Rob West today?
Hello. I wanted to offer a couple of recommendations on how seniors can save money on their prescription costs.
Great.
They need to be reviewing their Part D plans, which are their prescription plans, every year because the formularies for every company can change every year, and they can move prescriptions from one tier to another, greatly affecting the cost of that. And so if they can, we'll check that every year, that will help them on saving, you know, not just check it, but compare other Part D plans. And the other thing is, just for all people, one good place that they can use to compare prescription costs is GoodRx.com. And that, you just put the name of your prescription in there, and it will show you the cost of that in various locations, and you can see the lowest cost. I have been able to save over $100 on a prescription by looking at that and paying cash instead of going through my insurance company. So that's free and available to everyone.
Yes. Well, this is really great information. You know, this idea that we can be an active shopper every year and find the best coverage for your needs, saving you thousands of dollars. You know, this has obviously been one of the significant expenses and continues to be for folks in this season of life. My understanding is nearly a dollar of every $5, you know, goes toward outpatient prescription drug costs, mostly via the Part D coverage. So of the Medicare dollars, a significant portion is going toward the Part D benefit. So this is a real blessing. And I understand, based on the notes I'm seeing here, Rita, that you help folks at your church do this. And some of them are saving as much as $1,000 a year. Is that right?
Yes. And I if I have time, I'm going to give you one example.
Sure.
One lady, and this is saying, you need, if you like your plan and you think I'm just going to keep it, let me tell you why you don't do that without comparing it. One lady, one of the first ones I dealt with this year, had a prescription that she was taking, and under her current plan, it was going to go up because they had changed the tier on it without her realizing that. That one medicine for 90 days would have cost her $142. And yes. she says, oh, no, that's not what I pay. And I said, you will if you stay on this plan. But yeah. checking GoodRx, I was able to show her how she could get the same medication at the same pharmacy for $24 by paying cash.
Wow.
And so it's those types of things that we don't know.
Yes.
And just because you're happy with it this year doesn't mean it's going to be the same next year. So it's so
That's
important
right.
to have someone check for you.
Well, it's such a great word of encouragement. You know, you mentioned the word formularies. That may be something that folks don't recognize. But here's the bottom line. These plans change their list of covered drugs and the drug costs each year. And so being able to change your plan, perhaps to get better coverage or the same coverage for the same medication from one year to the next, may require a change in plan. And that's what Rita's referring to. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
What a ministry to the folks in your church you're providing, Rita. We appreciate it.
I'll say, who would have thunk it that Rita is a cost-saving angel sent from above to our radio program to help our listeners save dollars.
Why, that's right.
Fantastic. That's the great thing about a call-in radio program. We get a chance to talk to people all across the country. Many of them know a whole lot more than we do. And if that's you, give us a call. Let's chat. 800-525-7000. Tinley Park, Illinois. Marianne, what do you have for us?
Well, Rita's a hard act to follow. But anyway, I'm 64 and retired. And in October, I retired, and I decided to hold off on Social Security but take money out of my trust and that I was left from my aunt. It was one of those health education maintenance trusts that I could use. And the lawyer that's handling it suggested that, you know, said that I should take it from there. But, of course, we never know when we're going to die. But I thought, oh, my goodness, if I die in the next few years, then I've been taking money away from my children because they're going to get my trust when I die, the remainder. And I'm leaving the government money alone. So I thought maybe I should take the Social Security. It would be about the same amount every month as I'm getting from the trust every month.
Yeah.
So financially, it's okay, but I just wonder what your opinion is. Should I wait till 66 and 4 months?
Yeah.
That's my, you know, retirement age for the Social Security, or should I take it early?
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate your desire to maximize the inheritance, the money that you're passing on to your kids. But I would think about it a couple of ways. Number one is you are the steward of those funds while they're here and for your benefit right now. I realize governed by the trust documents and the provisions in it, but it's for your benefit until your death, and at which point it will be passed on. And so you're using it appropriately. Number two is you could make the case that you're actually going to save money in the long run in the trust by waiting until full retirement age to take your benefits, because you're going to be able to take a larger amount for the rest of your life that will then offset the money that perhaps you would need to draw from the trust. So I kind of like the idea of you delaying that until full retirement age, locking in that higher amount, and then perhaps it would give you the ability to not take as much down the road from the trust, because remember, your expenses are probably going to be rising, you know, with the rising cost of health care, especially if you need more significant or advanced care down the road, like, you know, assisted living or nursing home care or in-home care, something like that. So I think finding the balance there between maximizing your Social Security benefit and then perhaps not having to rely as much on the trust down the road, I think makes some sense to me. But I wouldn't, you know, have any guilt about using it now, because that's the purpose for it, and you're certainly using it for that reason. Does that make sense, Marianne?
It does, and I really appreciate your opinion, because I got a similar opinion from a couple other people. So now you did it. You tapped it. So great.
All right. You're very welcome. Lord bless you, and thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Marianne. Hey, Rob, here's a quick email from Rose. She
right.
says, a credit card company charged me $20 for an excessive balance fee. If I cancel that card, will it hurt my credit score? I'm 74 years old and don't have any plans to buy a house, a car, or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, the excessive balance fee or over limit fee is one of the key ways that credit card companies make money, along with interest, of course, and late payment fees. Your credit score is already taken probably a slight hit by the fact that you are at the limit. Anything above 30% debt to limit ratio is going to start to pull your score down. So the fact that you're up there, that's not going to change whether you, if you close the account. So I think, you know, assuming you're not using that card, go ahead and get it closed. And then let's just go ahead and focus on trying to limit lifestyle, get as much money as you can going to pay that off. Because what concerns me more than your credit score is the interest that you're paying. So I'd love to see that gone sooner rather than later.
And we appreciate that email, Rose. If you'd like to send Rob a couple of lines in an email, make it brief. The address is questions@moneywise.org.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. So how's your Bible study and prayer life working out for you? Are you in the Word and on your knees every day like you know you should be? Or might you be a little too busy to stay diligent in that regard right now, hoping God understands? Well, welcome to the club. You have lots of company. But that doesn't let you off the hook. All of us find the time to do the things we want to do, and we should want to stay close to God above everything else. That should tell you something about yourself. But I have great news. There's a simple solution. Start sharing your faith, and your Bible study and prayer life will explode with purpose and excitement. Living the Great Commission enriches you as much as it reaches the lost. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Billy Graham talks about peace.
There are thousands of people living with a false peace today, making plans as if they were going to live forever. All their time and energy is spent on the things of this world that will soon pass away.
So, where can you find a peace that will last forever?
The peace that you have with God is permanent. It never changes. It was accomplished not by you. It was accomplished by Christ on the cross. This glorious peace can be yours today. It is a peace now, a peace forever, to all who trust in the precious blood of Christ.
How would you like to experience that kind of peace? A peace that doesn't fade away with time. It starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can learn more at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
And let's continue on MoneyWise Live by going to, south a little bit, Shreveport, Louisiana. We welcome Josephine.
Josephine, we're so glad you called today. How can we help you?
My question was about the government offset, which I was told whenever my husband retired that I would not get any of his Social Security because my retirement from school board, that was my career, was more than half of his retirement from Social Security. So consequently, I've received nothing for the last 12 years of his Social Security. And I just wanted to know if that is still in effect.
Yeah, nothing's changed, Josephine. However, I would still look into it. What you're talking about there is this government offset affects benefits paid by the Social Security Administration. And you're correct. It reduces the spousal Social Security retirement benefits in situations where the spouse did not pay Social Security taxes on their employment earnings because, you know, they were, like you said, a teacher or had a pension or something like that. But oftentimes it will reduce, let's say, two-thirds, but there would still be something available. It may not reduce it entirely. So I would check with your Social Security office. I'd call them. Their offices, I believe, are still closed to the public, but they are helping folks by phone or the web. So their website, ssa.gov, ssa.gov, or 800-772-1213, 800-772-1213, and just inquire about your specific situation and see if perhaps there's some benefit that you're entitled to. And if so, you'd want to apply for those survivor's benefits promptly because, you know, in this case, I don't think it would be retroactive. Mm-hmm. So you'd want to try to get to the bottom of that. You may find that what you've understood is exactly the case, but there also may be a partial benefit that you're entitled to.
Okay, Josephine, does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes, it does. My husband, we had a retail store, and he worked retail for 42 years.
Wow.
And during that period of time, even though I was teaching school, I would help on weekends, Christmas, yeah. Father's Day, and all that. Mm-hmm. And he paid my Social Security enough that I could have 40 quarters.
Okay.
So I do receive a check each month, about $100. Sometimes it's $110 or whatever, but
yes.
That I just got the minimum.
Okay, and, very good. Yeah, so it could be that you are, in fact, receiving all you're entitled to, but it's worth a phone call or a visit to the website just to make sure.
Yeah. Josephine, we appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you so much. Columbus, Ohio, Tom, we know you've been holding a bit. We hate to have you there in the shadows. How can we help you, sir?
Hi. Hi. I am considering putting solar power on my home, and I've looked at the cost, partly because of this. There's a large tax credit. I can... pay for the solar power installation with a home equity line of credit and essentially pay less on the loan than I would be paying for my electricity. So I think it's a good deal in that respect. My question is, if I sell my house in 5 years or some time frame like that, I'm worried that I won't be able to get my money back for the solar.
Yeah.
Do you have any opinion about that?
Well, I do, and I think you've got to really count the cost there. I mean, if you live in an area with high energy rates and a suitable solar rating, and you can afford the initial investment, it can be worth installing those panels because of that tax break and because of the reduction in costs over time. But you do have to be able to recoup that initial investment. My understanding is that it's almost 8 years is the average time it takes for a solar system to pay for itself. But if you can get beyond that, you can enjoy some lifetime savings that really could be to your benefit. In fact, Rich, who's doing research for us today, was actually looking at the numbers for Ohio and looking at the average cost per watt. And, I think it came out to about 7 years, 8 months is the average time in your area to recoup that. So if you do have a potential move on the way, Tom, that would give me some pause about this just because – you've got to be able to afford it up front, and then you've got to wait it out in order to make this pay for itself. An interesting website, just for fun, is a website that Google has up right now. It's called Project Sunroof. Just Google that, Project Sunroof. You can put in your home address, and it will actually use Google Earth imagery to analyze your roof shape and the weather patterns and the direction of your home and actually give you a personal solar analysis that's just interesting to see, based on the amount of usable sunlight hours you have per year and, how much savings you could get. But I think in your situation, because you have a potential move coming, it probably does not make sense.
So do you think that potential buyers would, see the value of the solar and I'd be able to sell the home for more money?
Yeah. I would check with a realtor on that. I would venture to say no, just because a lot of people don't really understand the full benefit of that. But I'd be curious to have a real estate professional weigh in on that, just because some of those upgrades can tend to be seen as nice to haves, but perhaps, you know, they don't. Now, if you can quantify the annual savings moving forward and make that a feature of the sale, well, certainly, you know, there could be some value there, but whether or not somebody would be able willing to pay the full cost of what it took you to put it in anticipation of the savings over time that you're telling them they'll realize that, you know, they may or may not be convinced of, I think it perhaps is a stretch, but I'd want a realtor to weigh in on that. And so perhaps that would be a good phone call to make.
Tom, we wish you the best with that. In fact, let us know how it works out if you decide to go this route. You know, Rob, I have some friends. You probably do as well. I have some friends in Phoenix, Tucson, just forgot the name of the city in Texas, but they all have solar on their homes. But yeah. Everyone in their neighborhood has solar on their homes, and there it's kind of expected, and your house might lose value if it didn't have it, but it would be a different deal in northern parts of the country, I would assume.
Yeah, perhaps. Exactly right, and that's why it's so dependent upon where you live and the amount of hours you have per day of real sunlight and the potential solar savings that you could realize.
Yeah, speaking of that, I know you're taking some days off next week, Rob. Just want to sunblock. Want to remind you about your SPF, SPD, yeah. Whatever that is.
It used to be 50. That. Now I think it's 100. I just put on as much as I can get. Yeah, we're going to family camp next week. Should be great. Looking forward.
Family camp. Oh, okay. We'll be looking for a report on that. Okay, Lakewood, Ohio. Catherine, what's on your mind?
Hi. Hi. Was calling because I purchased a condo in 2018, and I had a couple of friends who agreed to essentially rent from me, but it was more of a cost sharing, as my tax guy said. I didn't make a profit on them, but they did pay me monthly to like split the bills, and they paid some extra to go towards the mortgage as well. So my tax guy said that because I didn't, I actually paid a little more than they did every month. Like as far as splitting it in three parts, I paid more than a third. And then they paid, you know, their part. And my tax guy said that because I didn't make a profit and it was more of a cost-sharing situation, that I didn't have to claim it or list it on my tax return because I wouldn't owe anything.
Sure.
So I just wanted to make sure that was done correctly.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a CPA, Catherine, but what you're describing makes sense to me. And so I would trust his professional opinion on that. But that just logically makes sense to me that you really didn't have any income there. It was, in fact, cost sharing. There was a net cost to you for the entire thing. And so there's really no income to report. In fact, you were losing money, so to speak, although it provided for your housing. So I would say that I'd probably go with his professional opinion on that. You could make a case that it is a type of income that offsets your cost of living, even though it was shared. At the end of the day, if you want to make sure, you know, you really have some good counsel, I guess you could check with another CPA just to get a second opinion, because certainly you want to do what's right. And so if you want to check there in Lakewood, go to moneywiselive.org, click on connect with a CKA and look for a CKA in your area who is in the tax area just to double check. And I think that would certainly give you some peace of mind.
Okay.
Okay, Catherine.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I mean, as far as I did sell the property and I did make a profit on that end of it, but it probably wouldn't have any, I guess, ramifications for, because I paid down the mortgage so much because they helped pay some of it down, but I got all that money back when I sold it. So that probably wouldn't, I mean, that profit's income, right? But it wouldn't matter that they helped pay that mortgage.
Well, you know, if they were helping you pay the mortgage down, I don't know, that starts to sound like income to me, just because you're taking that money that they're providing you as income, and then you're using it and redirecting it to reduce the principal of the mortgage. So, I would get a second opinion on that just to make sure that that's being done properly, because it sounds like, there may be some offsets on that in terms of legitimate expenses you can write off against that, given that you're essentially renting a room to someone. But I would make sure that that is in fact done properly and that you've reported everything exactly the way you should. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and get a second opinion on that.
Yeah, great. Catherine, again, we're glad that you called today, and we hope that information helps you. Thanks so much. We always are looking not just to help you balance your checkbook, but to help you find the peace of God. We're all looking for peace, and the Bible's word is replete with verses that encourage us in that direction. I like Philippians 4:4-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for joining us today. If the program is helpful to you, would you consider telling a friend? And then consider joining us again tomorrow for a brand new edition of MoneyWise Live.